Psalm chapter 19. We have been looking at the will of God, how to find God's will. It's a four-part series. First week, we looked at why the will of God is best. Second week, we looked at how to find God's will. We looked at some very practical things that you can do to find God's will. Last week, we looked at the topic, what to do when God's will is multiple choice. And today, we want to finish the series with discerning God's will in everyday choices. Discerning God's will in everyday choices. A young traveler was in an airport in Hong Kong. Her backpack bore the scars of some hard traveling. It bulged with souvenirs from all around the world. But suddenly, tears began to run down her face and to drip off her chin. Then she began to sob a flood of tears. She wasn't quite ready to go home, she said. She'd run out of money. She had spent 2 days waiting in the airport on standby, and during that time having very little to eat. But her plane was about to go, and she discovered that she had lost her ticket. She had been sitting in the same place for 3 hours, sinking into despair. Some people tried their best to encourage her and to drive her tears. They had offered to take her to lunch and to talk with the powers to be at the airline to see if there could be some remedy for her situation. Finally, still despairing, she stood up to go with them, turned around to pick up her belongings, and when she did so, she let out a blood-curdling scream. The scream was so loud that it frightened everyone in the whole passenger lounge area. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10 is our text this morning. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I want you to notice that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And more to be desired are those testimonies than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. If you had a choice this morning between a Bible and a pound of gold, you would be wise if you chose the Bible, and you chose it without hesitation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts. May we have a deeper appreciation for your word and for every aspect of it. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us to dig into your word that we might find your will in the daily decisions that we have to make. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read some other scripture verses for you this morning that have to do with the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If you are saved today, if you are here today, you're born again, you are saved, it's only because the Bible has told you how. How many people don't read the Bible, they just listen to what somebody has to say to them, and they get the wrong ideas of how they can get to heaven? Some people think that they can get to heaven if they simply do enough good deeds, enough good works. Some people think that they can get to heaven if they are baptized. Some people think that they can get to heaven if they join a church or some other way. Thinking you can work your way to heaven is like putting a bicycle in the garage and thinking it's going to open up and turn into a Cadillac. It doesn't happen. Jesus has to come inside. He has to come in on the inside before the outside can be changed. You have to be transformed, and if you are saved today, you are saved by grace through faith and not by works. And the only reason you know this is because the Bible has told you. Otherwise, you would be like so many others today. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit," excuse me, "and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word quick means alive. If you read the Bible, it'll do a work on you. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I want you to know today that the Bible is the eternal word of the eternal living God. And the mind that created the universe wrote the Bible. It takes 4.3 years to travel to the nearest star at the speed of light. Traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take 112,000 years to travel through our galaxy. Scientists have counted over 1 billion stars in our galaxy alone. One planet in a nearby galaxy, Epsilon Argae, is so big that if you hollowed it out and you dropped one planet Earth in it every second, it would take only 888 million years to fill it. We haven't begun to discover the vastness of the universe, but the mind that created the universe wrote the Bible. I don't think we've begun to discover the vastness of the Bible either. There are two schools in the Christian world: that which puts the Bible above everything else, or that which puts something above the Bible. Two college students were talking one day. One of them was a skeptic and a self-appointed critic of the Bible. The other was a committed Christian. The skeptic said to the Christian, "What would you think if I told you that in 10 minutes I could produce arguments that would utterly annihilate your Bible?" The Christian looked back and said, "About the same thing I would think if a gnat crawled up the side of Mount Everest and said, 'Watch me pulverize this thing with my left hind foot.'" You cannot discredit the Bible. The Bible is an incredible book that I'm afraid we take for granted. The only difference between us and the heathen in dark lands is that we've had a Bible and they haven't. The only reason you don't sacrifice your babies to the gods of the Nile River is because you've had a Bible and they haven't. The only reason you don't beat yourself with whips and crawl on stones or crawl on pieces of glass to purge yourself of sin as they do in the Philippines is because you have had a Bible and they don't. We owe our lives this morning to the Bible and the truth of God's word. And the Bible was given to us so that we might know the difference between right and wrong. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The more you use your Bible, the more sensitive your spirit will become so that you can discern between good and evil, right and wrong. Can you imagine not knowing the difference between right and wrong? There are many people in our day who are saying, "You can't know the difference. You can't know the difference between right and wrong." Listen to this statement by a guy named D. Henry. "There is no known boundary between honesty and dishonesty. The frontiers of one blend with the outside limits of the other. And he who attempts to tread this dangerous ground may be sometimes in one domain and sometimes in the other." Let me ask you, is that true or false? It is absolutely false. There is a clear distinction, delineation between right and wrong, honesty and dishonesty. In a survey of about 12 years ago, 28% professed belief in absolute truth. Only 28% of the people surveyed said, we believe that there is absolute truth. I would think that if they took that survey today, it would probably be less than 28%. But worse than that, only 23% of those claiming to be born again Christians said that there was such a thing as absolute truth. There is absolute truth. The Bible is true, and Jesus Christ rightly declared himself to be the truth. What he taught is truth. What he taught is true. And there is a difference between right and wrong. So how can you know right from wrong? And how can you know God's will in everyday decisions, especially in the confusing areas of life? Is there really right and wrong about morality? Is there right and wrong about clothing? Is there right and wrong about the way you groom yourself? Is there right and wrong relationships? Is there right and wrong in education? Is there right and wrong in recreation and entertainment and how you use your possessions? Is there right and wrong in those areas? How do we know what's right? How do we know what God's will is for us in these areas? First of all, ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, that means generously, and upbraideth not, he doesn't hold back, and it shall be given him. Before making any decision of significance, we should ask and pray for God's wisdom. Number two, by drawing principles from the testimonies of Scripture. Drawing principles from the testimonies of Scripture. Was slavery, as it was practiced in America, with white people owning black people as a piece of property, was that slavery right or wrong? I think probably all of us today would say that was wrong. Find me a verse of Scripture against it. That's harder to do than you think. Where does it say in the Bible, thou shalt not own slaves? What stopped slavery, spiritually speaking? You know, it wasn't a command of Scripture. It was a principle of Scripture. I agree, slavery is wrong. But we stopped it in America mainly because of two Bible verses. That they were able to pull principles out of these two Bible verses to stop it. It wasn't doctrine. It was principle. Doctrines of the Bible are things like Jesus is God. The Bible is the Word of God. The virgin birth of Christ. Salvation is by grace through faith. Doctrine, key truths of the Word of God are necessary to establish the right relationship between you and God and you and others. But it is scriptural principles that tell you how to get along with God and how to get along with others. A principle is this. A principle is a general truth drawn from a specific passage that is then applicable in many areas that the passage itself may not exactly deal with. Principles answer the how do I questions of life. Principles tell you how to live. Principles tell you how to relate to others. Principles tell you how to make wise decisions. Principles tell you how to solve problems. Principles tell you how to act and not react. Principles tell you how to handle your trials. Principles tell you how to get victory over bad habits. Principles tell you how to be a good father or mother, husband or wife. Principles tell you how to be the right kind of son or daughter. Principles tell you how to train your children. And many other things we could discuss this morning. Many of those teachings are built upon the principles of Scripture. In my lifetime, the influence of Christians in the world has gone down. Our society has shrunk to new lows of morality. In fact, just this last week, I heard on the radio that Christian young people who make a decision, make a commitment to remain pure until marriage, get sexually transmitted diseases as often as those who don't make such a commitment or decision. I heard that 90% of Christian young people who go off to college leave the church and never come back. And I think this has happened because we didn't know how to apply the principles of God's word to our life. We didn't know how to take the principles there and apply it practically to everyday situations of our life. Now, many of those young people who went off to college could tell you their church's doctrine. They could quote their church doctrine. But still, when they got out into the secular world and attended a secular college, they lost their Christian faith, never to return, 90%. Psalm 119, verse 128 says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right." My generation knew how to build a foundation, but we didn't know how to build solid walls and put a roof on it. The stormy winds would come and blow, and our structure would fall over, and we wondered why. We had a strong foundation. We had good doctrine. And yet, storms of life would consistently come and knock us down and throw us over. And we wondered what happened. You know, I remember strong preaching on the doctrines of Scripture, but I don't remember too much preaching and teaching on the principles, the how-tos of Scripture. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We have been destroyed in our homes because husbands and wives don't know how to relate to each other. We haven't known God's will for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, or for wives to reverence and respect their husbands. We haven't been taught that husbands need to be wise leaders, and we haven't taught wives how to build up their homes. And yet Proverbs 14:1 warns, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." We have been destroyed in our homes because we haven't known how to train our children. We haven't built in them the necessary things that they need for when they get out in the real world and they have to make decisions on their own. We haven't trained them properly, and they go to the way of the world. Principles are drawn from statements of Scripture, but are mainly found in the testimonies or the stories of Scripture. In the first three chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses is reviewing to the children of Israel all the stories, the history of what has happened and what they have gone through. Then notice what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 45. "These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt." Why would Moses be doing this? Here he is, the great lawgiver. We think Moses is giving them the law. He's given them law, but he's given them more than that. He's giving them testimony. He's telling of the story of their history. Why? Because there's a wealth of principles in those stories that those people needed to hear. When Jesus taught, what did he mainly teach? What was his main way of teaching? Telling stories, parables. Many of the stories that he told were true. Think of the principles that we learn from those stories. The Bible talks much about testimonies. Let me go through some of these passages. This is not an exhaustive list, but I will give you quite a few. Deuteronomy 6:17, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he had commanded thee." A testimony that is full of principles are a command to be kept. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 20, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" Teach your children to ask questions. Let them ask questions. Let them ask questions about the stories, about the testimonies. That's why I think Sunday school is so important. We go through those stories in Sunday school. I think they, by the time they get through, they learn every Bible story that there is. It's necessary for you to learn the stories of the Bible because there is things that we can take out of those stories and apply to our lives. 1 Kings 2:3, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." You study testimony and get the principles from them, and you can prosper. 2 Kings 17:15, "And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. Why did the people follow the heathen nation around them? Why did they follow these heathen people? Because they didn't listen to the testimonies and get the principles that came from them. Why are young people following the world? I think it's because they haven't learned from the testimonies. They haven't been able to draw out principles from the testimonies and apply them to their lives. Maybe it's our fault. Maybe we haven't taught them the principles from the testimonies of Scripture. 2 Kings 23:3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They said, we will do it. We will keep not only the commandments, we will keep the testimonies. Psalm 25:10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. You can have mercy and truth if you follow the principles of the testimonies from the Word of God. People say there is no truth. Yeah, there is truth. There's truth in the Word of God. Many of it's hidden in the principles that we draw from the testimonies of Scripture. Psalm 78:56, yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. How do people tempt and provoke God? It's when they ignore the testimonies and the principles that come from them. Psalm 119, verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. You should rejoice over the testimonies as much as you would rejoice in gold or all sorts of things, all sorts of riches and treasures. Psalm 119, verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. You are more likely to live a life above reproach if you keep God's testimonies. Psalm 119, verse 24. Psalm 119 is filled with truth here on the testimony of Scripture. Read that psalm sometime. Look for the verses that just talk about testimonies. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Where do you get counsel from? The greatest book on giving counsel and telling you how and what to do is this book that I'm holding in my hand this morning. How do you solve the problems of life? This book will show you how. You find counsel in the testimonies and in the stories of Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 31, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. If we read the stories and follow the principles, then we can keep from living a life of shame. Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. If you read a story of somebody being covetous and you draw the principles from that, then you can keep yourself from being destroyed. Psalm 119, verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. You can draw strength from the testimonies of Scripture. I love this next one. Psalm 119, verse 99. Every student, your ears should pick up when I read this verse. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Do you want an education? Do you want to have more understanding than those that teach you? More understanding than a teacher can give you? Meditate on the testimonies, the stories of Scripture, and draw principles from them. Psalm 119, verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. If you read the Bible looking for principles to apply to your life, the Bible will get exciting to you. People say, I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Start reading the stories. Let those stories speak to you. Draw principles to apply to your life from those stories. Psalm 119, verse 144, the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Principles are applying the power of the living word of God, to our everyday life. The biggest problem with the Pharisees in Jesus' day was not that they didn't know the law. They knew the law of God. They could quote that law. It was that they didn't get the principles and then apply the principles to their life. Jesus summed it up when he said to them in Matthew 23:23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Where would they have gotten truths about judgment and mercy and faith? They would have gotten it from the principles, from the testimonies. They ignored that part. They just got the laws. The laws are foundational, but without principles, you become a Pharisee. There is no single action or activity in human life that does not fall in some way under the jurisdiction of some principle of the Word of God. And yet this is the key area where committed Christians argue and disagree the most. We don't argue about whether it's right or wrong to kill babies. We have clear commands. But we argue about smoking and gambling and drinking and dress and those kinds of things. The principles of God's law govern those areas of life just as surely as the commands of God's law govern the moral areas of our lives. Listen, if you are involved in an activity and you say the Bible doesn't speak against this, could I just say that the questionable activity, the burden of proof is on you. You have to prove what you're doing is right in the Word of God. See, it's not just proving that something is wrong. Can you prove what you believe to be okay? Can you prove that, biblically speaking, to be right? Build the foundation of the house with sound doctrine, but build the walls and put a roof on with solid principles and testimonies of Scripture. Then you will have a strong house. You know, it's only through our testimony that our light shines to others. It's through our testimony. As they see us, they see our lives, that the light shines from our house to them. During the days of slavery, if a preacher preached against it, really, and said that blacks and whites are equal, and that blacks and whites should be able to worship in the same church, and that God is no respecter of persons, some would say, and some said, well, that's just his opinion. Yet slavery was done away with in America because of two Bible verses. You want to know what they are? Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8 is one passage. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from their heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God is saying that he treats a man the same whether he is bond or free. That was the principle that eventually destroyed slavery, because people recognized that God deals with everybody the same way. The other passage was Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Master, you're going to have to look at your slave as being better than you are. That wipes out slavery. The principle of the thing just destroyed it. Number three, how do you discern God's will in the everyday decisions of life? Ask for wisdom, draw principles from the testimonies of Scripture. Number three will be much shorter than number two. Let go of anything that could cause you to become desensitized. Let go of anything that could cause you to become desensitized. Hebrews 5:14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Is everybody still awake here this morning? Okay. How do you know if something stinks? You smell it. Your sense of smell has to be sensitive enough to recognize it. Don't ask my father-in-law if something stinks or not. He had polyps. He had those removed. He had surgery, and he has lost the sense of smell. I think he's kind of regained it over the years, maybe some, but he couldn't smell at all. You could pass a hog farm, and I could say, wow, does that stink? He could say, that's just your opinion. Now, he wouldn't do that, but his smelling had been desensitized. The girls, they had bought a car one time, and the girls had spilled a gallon of milk. You know what spilled milk smells like after a while on carpeting? Especially when it gets hot in the summer? Do you know that my father-in-law could not smell that smell in the car? They finally had to tell him that the smell was there because he couldn't smell it. You know, we have to have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Don't become desensitized by things that turns off your sense of smell, your sense of hearing the word of God. Some old preacher, and I don't know who it is, but he said, come to the book for an interpretation and you'll get an answer from God. Bring to the book an interpretation and you get answers from the devil. If you come to the Bible with your mind already made up about right and wrong or what God's will is, you will probably leave with the same feeling. If you have been desensitized, how do you get over it? By being bathed in the principles of the Word of God for a period of time. I heard about a man turning to a woman with his Bible open to Romans 3:23 and saying, would you read this out loud? She read it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, what does that say to you? She said, I don't believe what it says. He said, read it again. She did. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, what does it say? She said, I don't believe in sin. He said, read it again. She read it again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, what does it say? She said, I don't believe in sin. He said, read it again. And she read it again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He asked, what does it say? She says, well, it says that all have sinned. He smiled because he'd finally been able to get through to her with the word of God. She had already had the opinion, I don't believe this. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe what it says. Finally, after reading it, what does it say? It says all have sinned. She read it for what it says. He then asked, does that include you? She smiled and said, yes. He continued on and led her to the Lord. She wept over sins forgiven. What happened? She had been desensitized to the truth. And so he just made her read the truth over and over and over again. If you've been desensitized from the Word of God, you just need to read it over and over and over again. How do you discern God's will? The everyday decisions of life. Number four, ask key questions to determine if possible activities, experiences, or relationships are wise and pleasing to the will of God. I have a bunch of questions. I'm not going to give them to you today. You could never write them down that fast anyway. But I'm working on a little thing that I'll have probably available as a handout next week. Key questions to ask to discern God's will in the everyday decisions. One of those is, does the Bible say anything specific about this? Are there related principles? That's what you got to look for. The principles, the testimonies of Scripture, the stories of Scripture, and draw out the principles. Remember the story I began with this morning? The lady in the airport in Hong Kong, she had been weeping a bucket of tears because her ticket was lost. She couldn't figure out how she was going to get back to the United States. She was out of money. How was she going to eat? The people said, let's go get something to eat, and we'll talk to the people at the airline. She stood up, turned around to pick up her belongings, and screamed so loud everybody in the passenger terminal heard her. They thought some terrible thing had happened to her. But no, she saw her ticket. She had been sitting on it for 3 hours. There are people all over America who have the Bible sitting on their shelf. It's their ticket to heaven, telling them how to get there, telling them to repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they say, no, thank you, I'll trust in my good works. There are Christians, born-again Christians, with the superstructure of their life blown over. And the Bible is their ticket to tell them how to build their lives in the right way, how to put their marriage back together, how to put their family back together. And yet there the Bible sits. The principles that they needed to apply to their lives just sit there in a closed book. They need to rediscover the Bible. Maybe you need to rediscover the Bible and say, what a book. The world fadeth, but the Word of God standeth forever. The mind that created the universe wrote the Bible. It has something to say about every area of your life. And if you get stuck on an area and you don't know what the Bible would say, you come to me and we will search the principles of Scripture together and we'll be able to apply things to your life, because I believe the Bible is the answer to every problem that we might face. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? You may be sitting on the very thing that you need this morning. The answer to your problems might be sitting on your end table, might be sitting on a bookshelf. I would just encourage you to dust it off and rediscover the Bible and let it speak to your heart. It's filled with power. It's alive. It's filled with stories and testimonies, just waiting for you to come and draw out the principles that you need. So I would encourage you to take down the Bible. Ask God for wisdom. Draw from it the principles that you need for your life. Ask yourself if you are desensitized, and if you are, just bathe yourself in the principles of the Word of God. It'd be a great time to go on a fast. Bathe yourself in the principles of the Word of God and ask key questions like, does the Word of God say anything specific about my situation? Let the Word of God speak to you. How many are here today? Your eyes are closed, your head's bowed. You'd say, Pastor, I've been trying some other way to get to heaven. I've not been following the Bible way. That I just need to put my faith in Jesus Christ and receive His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. I've been trying to get to heaven by doing good things. I've been trying to get to heaven by being a good person. I've been trying to get to heaven. I've been counting on my baptism. I've been counting on the fact that I joined a church. None of those things are bad, but they won't get you to heaven. The only thing that will get you there is if you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Come in and be the Lord of my life. That's the only thing that will take you to heaven when you die. That's your ticket. That's your ticket. Anything else is a counterfeit ticket. Anybody here by a raised hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been trying some other way than the Bible way of getting to heaven. I've got a counterfeit ticket. I want to exchange it for the real one this morning. Anybody here? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. How many here today say, Pastor, I've been trying to discern God's will in everyday situations or in a big situation. But because of this message this morning, I'm going to take the Word of God and I'm going to open it and I'm going to read it. And I'm going to read about the stories and I'm going to look for things that I can apply to my life. I would like you to raise your hand because I would like to notice you this morning. I'd like to pray for you this week. Amen. Amen. Others, raise your hand. Amen. Thank you. You can put them down. Lord, I thank you for these hands. I thank you that your word does not return void. I thank you that your word is alive and quick and powerful. And I pray for those that have raised their hands. They've got questions, trying to discern right and wrong, trying to discern your will. I pray, Lord, that as they open the Bible and they begin to read it and they begin to look and they begin to search, Lord, that you would lead them to the right places, the right passages, and that your Holy Spirit would guide them into the truth of your word, that you would speak to their heart Lord, and they would receive the answers. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sing them over again.
Those words that teach you faith and duty are words that come from the testimonies of Scripture. Study the testimonies.